All right. For the past couple of weeks or months, we've been talking about forgiveness, the key to victory in every area. And I want to read to you from Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. I'm going to be reading from the Worldwide English Bible. It may not match your Bible, so just pay attention very closely to what I'm reading. It says, "My dear brothers, do not punish people who do wrong to you, but let God's anger punish them. In the Holy Writings, the Lord says, 'I myself will punish people. If they have done wrong things, I will do wrong things to them also. But if your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. When you do that, it will be as if you put a pile of coals from the fire on his head.' Do not let wrong things win a victory over you, but win a victory over wrong things by the good things you do." Listen to this last part. Do not let wrong things win a victory over you, but win a victory over wrong things by the good things you do. If you want to conquer evil, you do not conquer evil by paying people back. You do not overcome the evil that people do to you by paying them back. You overcome evil, you get the victory by doing good. You see, when you do right, even though people have done you wrong, when you do what God says, when you obey the scriptures, then God himself will vindicate you. Amen? And let me tell you something. God can vindicate you way better than you can vindicate yourself. You see, if you do wrong, if you pay evil for evil, then you have placed yourself in Satan's territory. You don't want that to happen to you. You want the victory. That's why we tell you that the forgiveness is the key to victory in every area. You can't get your prayers answered apart from forgiveness. You can't get delivered from demonic possession apart from forgiveness. You can't walk in anything or any of the blessings that God has for you apart from forgiving those who do you wrong. And let me tell you, people will do you wrong. If you have lived any amount of time on this earth, you have been done wrong, haven't you? People have done you wrong. Is everybody alive in here?
Yeah.
Are we live or are we Memorex?
Yeah.
All right, glory to Jesus. We want a living church. Let me read to you a passage from a book by one of my favorite classic preachers. His name is E.M. Bounds. How many of y'all have ever heard of him? How many of y'all have heard of E.M. Bounds? Not many of you. Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to buy some books by E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds has written a number of books on prayer, and they are powerful. I love his books. You know, me and Pastor Kristen, we talk often, and we've shared how we have an affinity for classic books, you know, written, some of these books written 100 years ago. But some of these men really had a devotion to Christ. You know why? They didn't have television and VCRs and stuff like we have now. They didn't have nothing but time on their hands to pray and to study and write. And they just had a devotion to Christ that I just don't see that often today. Mm-hmm. And E.M. Bounds was one of those men who just had a wonderful devotion to Christ. And let me read something to you that I was just skimming through this book last night. Wasn't even looking for this, and I ran across this, and I said, "Ooh, I got to read this today." Now, and this book is, this isn't the original title of the book. They changed the name later to fit, you know, the type of teaching we got nowadays. It's called God to Spiritual Warfare. And he writes in The Supreme Defense, "If the spirit of forgiveness is always maintained and constantly exercised, it is a supreme defense against the attacks of Satan. An unforgiving spirit is not only Satan's widest door into our hearts, but also his strongest invitation and warmest welcome. Oh yeah, what he's saying there is Satan will welcome you when you're not forgiving people. And he just loves, he will get in your heart. Paul urged a spirit of forgiveness as a barrier against the devil's entrance into our lives. And we've read several scriptures showing you that from Paul's writings alone. And he goes on to say, a spirit of forgiveness that is free from all bitterness, revenge, or retaliation has freed itself from the conditions that invite Satan and has effectually barred his entrance. The quickest way to keep Satan out is to keep the spirit of forgiveness in. Listen to this. Let me read that again, because that's profound. That's so profound, y'all, it just went over y'all heads. The quickest way to keep Satan out is to keep the spirit of forgiveness in. In other words, as long as I'm forgiving people, Satan can't have any entrance into my life. See, the Bible says that Satan seeks whom he may devour. He seeks, he has to find an opportunity. And the greatest opportunity you can ever give the devil is by not forgiving. Now, I want you to listen to this and listen to me very clearly. I never said you won't be attacked. Did I ever say that?
No.
All right, don't ever walk out of here and say, well, I've been forgiving people. How come I'm under attack? You will be attacked. You will have trials. You will have tribulations. You will have persecutions. The devil makes sure of that. Because in this life, Jesus said that in this world, ye will suffer tribulation. What I'm saying is that Satan can't have victory in this warfare as long as you have maintained forgiveness. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, we only got a couple more weeks on this. I'm estimating, you know, maybe another 2 weeks after today. And then after that, we're going to move on to something else. Pastor Christic has some things the Lord has laid on his heart. Praise God. And we're going to be teaching a series on prayer. How many of y'all just want to know how to pray and get things from God? Yes, you can get things from God. You can't. Prayer, Jesus, and most of Jesus' teachings on prayer, he said you can get things from God. And as a matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about prayer today, but in a different aspect. But before we go into that, let me finish up a few things that I didn't finish up last week. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. You remember last week we talked about how you can forgive people, right? When we began talking about that for the past 2 weeks, and I was trying to finish up. We ran out of time, and I want to try to finish that up today very briefly so I can move on to this next segment. Ephesians chapter 6. See, you got to remember that forgiveness is a warfare. Say that with me. Say forgiveness is a warfare. It's a warfare. We are, it's not, forgiveness is, you're not being a wimp by forgiving people. I'm telling you, it takes a real man and a real woman to forgive somebody. See, somebody says, if you a man, you will fight. No. Let me tell you, baby, it's easy for me. It's easy for me to fight somebody. It's easy for me to pay somebody back for what they did to me than for me to forgive them. It takes a real man and a real woman to forgive.
That's a lot of heart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It takes, as my sister said, it takes a lot of heart. Because I'm telling you, it's tough. When somebody does you wrong, you know, you want to play another somebody done somebody wrong song. Well, you don't want to do that. You want to go get them. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Say strong in the Lord.
Strong in the Lord.
Say strong in the Lord.
Strong in the Lord.
Say strong in the Lord.
Strong in the Lord.
And in the power of his might. Say the power of his might.
And the power of his might.
You see, you are not going to be able to forgive people of your own strength and of your own might. If you want to overcome Satan, you need God's strength and God's might in your life. Amen?
Amen.
You need the Holy Spirit. My wife was giving her testimony a couple weeks ago, And she mentioned that she asked the Lord to help her. You see, she's tried to do it on her own. She tried to fight it on her own. She tried to deal with these people and forgive them on her own. But it was hard. And now I'm speaking especially to you ladies, because you ladies really have difficulty with this. I understand that's the way God built you emotionally. God built you a certain way. And sometimes your strengths, as a friend of mine once told me, he said, sometimes your greatest strengths can be your greatest weaknesses. And see, you women, you got a great strength, but Satan can turn that strength that you have into a weakness. Just like us men. See, one of our greatest strengths is most of the time we can easily let things go. But at the same time, we can become uncaring and passive and cold. See, the same strength we have can also make us a weakness, turn into a weakness if we're not careful with it. And that's the same thing with you ladies. You ladies, the God has given you an emotions, and you are caring, you are kind. I mean, you know, my son, he can fall and hurt his knees, and I'll say, boy, get your behind up and go wash yourself off. Stop crying. You know, that's just mean. But I've done it. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she'll go and caress him and, you know, wash the thing off of him, you know, and you know, give him love and everything. And I'm like, tell him, the 5-year-old, be a man. Stop that crying before I hurt you even more than that. So, you know, you women, God has given you a strength where us men, you know, but at the same time, us men, the strength that we have with our, you know, we're emotional, but we're not emotional the same way you are. Most of the time, we can keep our emotions in check. But, you know, our strength, it keeps us from getting into trouble in certain areas, and it helps us to protect the household and stuff like that. So it's a strength, but it can be a weakness. You understand what I'm saying now? So the reason why my wife was struggling with that is because she has a strength that Satan was trying to pervert into a weakness. My wife has a tender, caring heart. She has a real caring heart. She, you know, as a matter of fact, she's so caring sometimes it gets on my last nerve. I mean, you know, I be wanting to talk about people and dog them out, and my wife, she's always trying to find a reason why they might have done what they did. But honey, well, maybe they did that because I don't want to hear that. I just want her to be on my side and dog them out with me. See, she has a tender heart like that. But see, a tender heart like that with that kind of strength also can be hurt very easily. And you can do damage to a heart like that. And that's what happened. Many people have hurt her. And it took her time. But it finally got to the point where the Lord spoke to her and showed her that she had to rely on His Holy Spirit, on His strength, and not her own. And see, this is where you and I, all of us, we have to do it, because sometimes people do us wrong, man. And our natural instincts is to go whoop some boot tat. Kick some behind. Do you hear me? But see, you learn to rely on the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. I was telling you some weeks ago about the time I wanted to tear up my sister's ex-boyfriend. And I stood out on that porch while he was going to pick up his son. And I stood out there. I had my gloves on, my sweats on, and I was ready to put a hurting on him. See, the grace of God and the mercy of God. The Holy Spirit spoke to me at that time and said, son, it's not worth it. I said, it's not, is it? He said, no, it's not. It was He who strengthened me at that time. If I had not been saved, if I had not been praying, if I had not known the Lord, do you know what I would have done? I would have walked out there. I'm sorry, I would have cracked him, and I would have kept hitting him and hitting him and hitting him. I would have been thinking about the image of my mom, him slapping my mom would have been in my mind. The image of him and his brothers taking advantage of my brother and jumping on him at the same time. All of that would have just came out in one in a fury. But you know what? The strength of God and the power of His might came on me at that time, and I was able to back away. And I was able to praise God and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. It's not worth it. And I was able to later on love that man. Love him so much that I was able to hug him, embrace him. And I can do it today now. You see, you can't get rid of hatred on your own. Because Satan, he's continually bombarding you with what that person did to you. He's continually trying to throw in your mind, in your face, what that person did to you. You need the power of his might and the strength of the Lord to help you. Praise God.
Amen.
And you need to, now the Bible goes on to say this. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now let me try. Let me share something with you. Who's supposed to put on the armor? Who's supposed to put on that armor?
Us.
You are.
Yeah.
It does not say that God will put it on you, does it? Does it say God will put it on you? No. So some of y'all need to stop praying, saying, God, help me do something about the devil. Lord, stop the devil from coming into my life. No. The Bible tells you to put on the armor of God. And the Bible tells you to stand against the wiles of the devil. You ain't no baby. God's not going to, you know, look, you see my kids back there. My daughter's not feeling well. My younger daughter's not feeling well today. But you see them two big kids back there? I don't dress them anymore. Now, when they were babies, I changed their stinky, smelly diapers. I put on their little booties and little clothes and let my son squirt in my face whenever I changed his diaper. And I scream, ah! And he stopped, and then he go back to doing business. Yeah, back then I did that. But I'm not going to do that now. They will walk around naked first. They have to put on their clothes. I provide them the clothes. It is up to them to put them on. God has provided you the armor. He expects you to put it on. Amen?
Amen.
You put on the armor. You stand against the wiles of the devil. One of the pieces of the armor is your helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is to protect your head. And see, that's where I told you last week, that's where the devil attacks. We learned that you have to forgive in your heart, and we learned that the heart is speaking about the mind, the will, the emotions, the areas of the thoughts. See, and then we also learned that the deliberation, the thinking, the debating is in your mind. The desire to forgive or not forgive, you're fussing around with that thing in your mind. I want to forgive him, but oh, what he did to me. Oh, but I need to forgive him, because God says I got to forgive. But oh, look what he did to me last week. You know, that thing is twirling around in your mind. See, you got to put on the whole armor of God so that you can resist the attacks of the devil on your mind. If he catches your mind, he is able to control you. He controls you through your thoughts. So you must put on the helmet of salvation. God has provided it for you. You must do it. The only way to guard your mind is by knowing what the Word of God says. Find out what God's Word says and stick to it. Meditate on that Word. Memorize that Word. Whenever the devil comes up to you and says, oh, well, do you remember what so-and-so did to you? Then you say, well, yeah, devil, yeah, he did do that to me. Or she did do that to me. But the Bible says, and listen to this, devil, I am not to be overcome with evil, but I am to overcome evil with good. The Bible says, if my enemy thirsts, I will give him something to drink. And I am about to go help my enemy right now. Just because you said that, I'm mad at you, and you were the one who influenced that person to do that to me in the first place. So I'm going to hurt you by helping them. You begin to speak the word of God. You speak it out loud. That's what Jesus did when he was in the wilderness. You begin to speak the word of God over yourself. You begin to speak the scriptures about forgiveness. And you begin to speak those things to God, speak those things to the devil, speak those things to others, and you begin to say, hey, my Bible says that I am to forgive if I am to be forgiven. And therefore, since I want God's blessings, I forgive everybody for what they did to me. I don't receive your thoughts, Satan. So in the name of Jesus, be gone. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. I think we've dealt with that one enough. If you need to learn more, get the CDs. We'll have them available next week. I'll try anyway. Now, one of the areas that I also feel like I need to deal with, now, I don't hear people deal with this too often. And I don't know why, because there's so much in the Bible about it. But I don't hear it dealt with too often, and that's praying for those who hurt you. You know, and I wasn't even going to, you know, it wasn't only, I think only maybe 2 weeks ago that I saw this, because I was just, it was one of those days where I was jogging, and I felt like the Lord was speaking to me, and he was saying, son, it's not just enough to forgive them, but you also got to pray for them. I said, wow, that was profound, but it's right there in the Bible. You know, it's so easy for me to say, well, okay, Lord, I forgive them. But I am also supposed to get down on my knees during my prayer time and even pray for that particular person. So that's even a step beyond just saying, okay, I forgive so-and-so. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew is the very first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. Are we together?
Yeah.
All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. And it says, ye have heard it that it has been said, thou shalt love thy enemy and thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray. Say pray.
Pray.
And pray for them which spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh my goodness. It's not just a matter of saying, okay, well, you did me wrong, man, I forgive you. And then just forgetting about it. No. The Bible says I'm supposed to actually pray for that person who despitefully used me and persecuted me. And you know what? You go on down. And it says, be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. If you want to be like your daddy, your spiritual daddy I'm talking about, our Father in heaven, you have got to pray for those who have spitefully used you and persecuted you. That's hard, ain't it? Come on, be honest. It's hard.
Yep.
I don't want to pray. It's hard enough that you telling me to forgive them, but now I got to pray for them too? Yeesh. Oh, but the Bible says you have to. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Pedro. For those of you who speak the Espanol. I know I messed that up, but y'all, I need to wake y'all up a little bit. I took 3 years of Spanish when I was in high school. I took Spanish 1 twice because I failed. No, I took Spanish 2 twice because I failed Spanish 2 the first year. Had to take it again. You think I learned a little bit of Spanish by then?
1
Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. And it says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Listen to this. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing there that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So you are to give blessing, not cursing, to those who have done you wrong. Amen?
Amen.
You are to bless them. You are not... See, blessing your somebody who done you wrong goes even beyond just saying, okay, I forgive you. You actually have to pray for them and ask for God's blessings on their life. Ooh, that's hard. But you know what? I have to give you the truth, no matter how difficult the truth is. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you want a watered down teaching, preaching, if you want to just hear how you can get your new car and your new Cadillac and your new house and all that, there's a few churches I can recommend you on the television. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe in what we call a balance. Say balance.
Balance.
Balance, message of prosperity. I don't believe that God called you to be poor, because you can't bless nobody if you poor. Amen?
Amen.
But I don't believe in always preaching on what you can get. Sometimes the word of God comes to us hard. Not just the blessings, but sometimes the practical application can be tough. But yes, those who hurt us, if we really want God to bless us materially and spiritually, we have got to bless those who have done us wrong.
Amen.
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 Amen. Now, this is a very important but neglected truth. Now, in his sovereignty, say God is sovereign. When we say God is sovereign, we mean he is the supreme ruler of the universe. What he says goes. There's nobody who can say, tell God, I don't like the way you... Well, you can tell him. You know, he's giving you free will, but I don't want to be there when you tell him. God, I don't like the way you do things. God may say, well, so what? See, you don't... God determines and makes decisions without having to consult you. Now, he likes to have us involved in what he's doing and things like that, because that's the kind of father he is. He's not just a dictator, he's a father. But nevertheless, he is sovereign, and he has made certain things, he's made certain statements, he decided that things are going to be a certain way, and that is the way they're going to be, and we need to get with his program and not try to change his program.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. God in his sovereignty has given you and I prayer authority. And part of that prayer authority is to be exercised in blessing people and bringing forgiveness in their lives when they've done wrong. Whether they've done us wrong or whether they've done wrong, period. Matthew chapter 18. I don't know why this song keeps popping in my mind. Hey, won't you play another? We should get out of my mind. All right. Matthew 18. It says, begin at verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now I want you to notice something, and then we're going to turn to another scripture. Notice what happens. Whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, right?
Yes.
Now, the original Greek, from what I'm told, is whatsoever you shall bind on earth is already bound in heaven. But the basic point of the scripture is the things don't happen on earth, whether it's already happening in heaven or it's going to happen in heaven, they don't happen on earth until you have made up your mind to do it. God has chosen you and I to be partners with Him in the preaching of the gospel, in the winning of souls, and into bringing blessings upon people. And He's given you a specific amount of authority. You can bind and loose on earth certain things that are within the conditions of God's word. You can bind and loose on earth certain things that are within the parameters of God's word. Now turn with me to John chapter 20. I'm trying to show you the importance of praying for those who have hurt you. And I'm trying to show this to you from the scriptures. Because everything we talk about here is dealt with through the word of God. If it's not in line with God's word, then it should not be heard. I like that. I'm going to keep that. If it's not in line with God's word, then it should not be heard. It's like that man who said, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. All right. John chapter 20. Begin at verse 22. It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This is talking about the 11 disciples. There were 12 of them. One committed suicide. So there was 11 left. Verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit. I want you to really pay attention to this. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. God has given you a certain amount of authority for the unrepentant to pray for them and ask God's forgiveness over them. To ask God not to hold that thing against them. Not to hold them accountable for the wrong that they have done. Now, I don't want to down the Catholics, but we're going to, you know, they did misuse the scripture to say that the Pope or the priest had authority to absolve you from sins. You know, you go to the confessional and you tell the priest all the things you've done wrong, and based on this scripture, the priest has the authority to forgive you. No, that's not what the scripture is all about. That's not what it's teaching. It's not teaching that certain specific people have authority to forgive sins. First of all, only God can forgive sins. Only God can forgive you of your sins. But God invites us to partner with Him in praying and asking Him to forgive people of their sins. Amen?
Amen.
God invites you and I to partner with Him in bringing people freedom from the wrong that they have done. Now I want to show you this even more in scripture. Look with me at Luke chapter 23. This is a classic example. I'm taking you to the word today. I know you're doing a lot of page turning, but I want you to see this in the word, because this is not taught very often. If anybody has taught this, I don't know about it. I mean, it's taught it in the detail that I'm trying to teach it today. If they've done it, I don't know about it. You can send me that tape or book, and I'll listen to it. Maybe they got more insight than I'm giving you today. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 34. Now, I know all y'all should know this passage. I mean, maybe not know where it's at, but you should be familiar with the statement. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus, while He's on the cross. He says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see that? That was our Lord. Now, listen. Our Lord, the God of heaven and earth,
Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, who humbled himself and became a man just so he could save you and me, allowed himself to be beaten, allowed his beard to be pulled out of him. I don't know if any of you have ever had your hair pulled before, but that hurts. Imagine somebody ripping your beard out. Punching him in his face, spitting in his face, punching him and then teasing him. All prophesied to us. Who punched you? Who punched you? Who slapped you? Allowing himself to be whipped on his back with a cat of nine tails. And they tell me that within those whips was rocks and bones. And they would get the strongest Roman soldier. And they have you bent over, and he would wail back. And kabah! And that thing would get stuck in your skin. And then he'd pull it back and rip your skin out. And they did this to Jesus 30 times. And then on top of that, make him carry this big, heavy cross upon a back that's already been beaten so badly. And thank God that one man did decide to help him. And then put nails in his big, fat nails in his hands. Stick a big, thick crown of thorns on his head. They didn't just put it on there nice and gently. They shoved that thing on his head. And had him hanging up there like this for 6 hours. 6 hours like that. And yet, he can pray for them and say, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. If he can go through all that torment and all that torture and still pray and ask the Father to forgive them, then how about you and me? When somebody just said the wrong thing about us, when somebody just said something behind our back, when somebody just didn't pay us that $10 they owed us, how come we can't pray for them when our Lord sat there and prayed for them? Let's look at another example. Acts chapter 7. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
Are you getting the drift?
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all ready for me to finish this series so we can go on to something else?
Mm-hmm.
I love the honest congregation. But I bet y'all won't. If y'all don't want to hear this teaching no more, I bet you're going to start forgiving people from now on, ain't you? I bet you will. So if nothing else, you said, I better forgive him or else Pastor Troy will be preaching on that again next week.
Amen.
All right. Acts chapter 7, beginning at verse 57. Now this is my man Stephen. He was what people call the first martyr of the church. Stephen was a deacon, and Stephen was used mightily by God in signs and wonders. Glory to God. And then he got arrested, and he stood before the Sanhedrin Council, before the ecclesiastical folks. That's like me and you being brought before the big denominational leaders. And they questioned him, and then he gave them a speech. And then he started dogging them out, basically, by the Spirit of God. And they got upset. And verse 57 picks up and says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. How many of y'all have ever been hit with rocks before? I have. And I tell you, when I was a kid, we used to throw rocks at each other. That was, when I get hit with one, that was painful. Imagine having to stand there and people hitting you with these big stones. That hurts. I don't care what you say. I ain't never been hit with a brick before and don't want to be either. But I can imagine that it must hurt. So they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And verse 60, look at this. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Do you see that? Stephen following the ways of his master. Here he is getting rocks pulled upside his head, getting stones and bricks and all kinds of stuff, being beaten down. And instead of cursing him, saying, you ugly, sick people, why are you doing this to me? I hate all of you. I hope you all burn in hell. Instead of that, he said, Lord, lay not this thing to their charge. Hey, you know, some of us would have done that. We would have cussed him to our last breath. How dare you hit me with some rocks? I curse your mama and your daddy. You know, but he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He prayed for them. He prayed for them. These are examples we need to follow. And you know what? Saul was there. Do anybody know who Saul is? Mm-hmm. Saul is the man who later became the Apostle Paul. But before that, he was an enemy of God to the church. He was there. And he saw Stephen, and he saw this type of spirit that Stephen had. If Stephen hadn't done that, then we would have lost one of the greatest apostles there was. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. All of these letters here in the New Testament that encourage us, that get us through the hard times, were written by a man of God who was there when Stephen asked the Lord, forgive them. Paul was a part of that. He may not have picked up any rocks. He was just holding the clothes, but whether you're a participant or you're just an onlooker, just looking at letting it happen, you're still guilty either way. Oh, but glory to God, Stephen prayed. And because of that, I believe it touched a chord in Paul's heart. You see, because Paul went, after that, he went right there persecuting the church. You know why? Because he was under conviction. He was trying to kill that voice in him. That's what a lot of people do before they get saved. They you know how some of y'all was. You know, your Aunt Lucy witnessed to you, brought you to church, and then you couldn't stand it. You started going out drinking even more. You started smoking more weed. And then finally you said, oh, okay, I forget it. Jesus, I surrender. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. I know I'm taking y'all through a lot. We only got two more. Second Timothy is right after First Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. Now, Paul is talking about how when he was done wrong and how he was forsaken. So don't feel bad. Even the greatest men of God have been forsaken at times. And look at this. When you read this, you're going to find a statement that sounds so much like Stephen, but yet it was written by somebody who was there and who kind of helped out when Stephen was being stoned. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul prayed for those who did him wrong. Paul did not curse them. He did not say, I hate them. I hope they all burn in hell. I hope they be tormented forever and ever. I hope all their kids get leprosy. And their grandbabies too. No, Paul prayed. And he asked God, God, don't lay it to the charge. You and I have authority in prayer to pray and ask God to forgive people. And God expects us to use that authority in his way. In this particular way. See, God has no desire to punish people for their wrongs. God is a God of mercy.
if you were to look at Lamentations 3:33, I don't want to go into it. You know, I've already given you a whole lot of scripture. If you're taking notes, you can write this one down. But Lamentations 3:33 says that he does not afflict anyone willingly. In other words, God gives so much space for repentance. If somebody did you wrong and you wonder why nothing has happened to them yet, it's because God doesn't want to hurt them. And he wants you to forgive him too. It's not God's joy or his delight to punish people. Now, when they've gone to their last, when it's their final last straw, when he's left with no choice, then he will deal with that person. For example, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, or whatever have you. But it's not God's desire for people to be punished. He would rather delight in mercy than in justice. That's the reason why Jesus died. That's the reason why Jesus came. So that you wouldn't have to pay for the consequences of your sins. In James chapter 5, you know, we read that some weeks ago, James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, God is talking about how if there's somebody sick, we as elders are to pray over that sick one and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if they have committed any sins, they will be forgiven. Do you know God desires more the healing of your body than for you to pay for the wrongs that you did? God cares more about you and your health than he does about the sins. He gives you an open invitation through the blood of Jesus to seek his forgiveness and his mercy so that you can have his blessings on your life. But he requires this number one thing of you and me, which is to forgive our enemies, forgive those who have done wrong to us, but even to go a step beyond that, and to pray for them and ask God to forgive them. Oh yeah, it'd be easy for me to say I forgive you, but still in the back of my mind, I hope God gets you good though. I forgive you. Because I want God to forgive me, but I just know he's going to get you good for what you did. You're going to reap what you sowed. I mean, I've done that before. I said, well, you know, I forgive them. I said, but, you know, they got to sow what they reap. That was just, you know, because I can be callous like that. Admit, you can be too. I'm asking God to change me in areas. So I've come to the place now when somebody's done me wrong, I say, Father, have mercy on them for what they did. Have mercy on them. Some of you, I pray for on many days. You know, not that you've done me wrong. When I find out that you sin in some way, I would pray. I ask God, Father, forgive them. You know, some of them, they don't know what they're doing. And really, you know, some of you really don't. Because if you knew the consequences, if you knew what you were doing, you wouldn't do it. You got to know your word. Know the Bible. Know how Satan has access into your life when you sin. Sin gives him an open door. The sin of unforgiveness especially. Praise God.
Amen.
Did you get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Stand to your feet. Before Pastor Christopher comes, I'm going to ask my wife to come up real quick. She had an announcement to make.